single soul. Reaching a world and stepping in closer. CGM TV.
G'day everyone and welcome to today's Living Life. I remember quite a few years ago when Obama was the president in America, Hillary Clinton came to visit Korea on like a state visit. And I happened to know at that time someone who worked in the embassy, and he kind of worked with the scheduling and just kind of the itinerary and just kind of hosting, Clinton around when she was the Secretary of State. And I remember him telling me that her day was organized and divided into blocks of 15 minutes. And it wasn't just for, you know, sections of the day. It was the entire day. And she would start her day like really early. I think it was like 5 a.m. or something like that, all the way to really late. And she didn't sleep, you know, too long either. But her day was organized in 15-minute blocks. Now, can you imagine your day organized around 15-minute blocks? That means there were some things, you know, as a Secretary of State that she did within 15 minutes, whether it's in a professional, you know, level or a personal. Sometimes, you know, I guess they would gather a few 15-minute blocks together. But can you imagine the efficiency and what it needs to be that efficient and effective to have your life revolve around 15-minute blocks. And so as I read this passage, I was just kind of reminded about time and the efficient use of time, or the efficiency of time versus the quality of time. And that time is an important consideration in ministry, especially ministry in the body of Christ. So let's read the passage and then we'll continue.
First Corinthians chapter 16, verses 1 through 12. Now about the collection for God's people, do what I told the Galatian churches to do. On the first day of every week, each one of you should set aside a sum of money in keeping with his income, saving it up so that when I come, no collections will have to be made. Then when I arrive, I will give letters of introduction to the men you approve and send them with your gift to Jerusalem. If it seems advisable for me to go also, they will accompany me. After I go through Macedonia, I will come to you, for I will be going through Macedonia. Perhaps I will stay with you a while or even spend the winter so that you can help me on my journey wherever I go. I do not want to see you now and make only a passing visit. I hope to spend some time with you if the Lord permits. But I stay on in Ephesus until Pentecost because a great door for effective work has opened to me and there are many who oppose me. If Timothy comes, see to it that he has nothing to fear while he is with you, for he is carrying on the work of the Lord just as I am. No one then should refuse to accept him. Send him on his way in peace so that he may return to me. I am expecting him along with the brothers. Now about our brother Apollos, I strongly urge him to go to you with the brothers. He was quite unwilling to go now, but he will go when he has the opportunity.
Now, as you read the passage today, you get the idea that Paul is being efficient. He's talking about itinerary procedures, and he's planning ahead for things to happen smoothly in the future with things, you know, in regards to collecting offerings and transferring offerings and so forth. But then as you continue to read through the passage, you begin to see a different aspect and a different posture coming out. He begins to be more expansive and relaxed, especially in the measure and the usage of time, and it has to do with people. So to do with collecting money, it's all about efficiency and planning ahead. But when it comes to people in the community, Paul starts to relax, and his even word choices starts to change. He begins to use words like if, perhaps, and hope, as you will note in the passage. And because it becomes more about spending time together. And some more words that he uses is accompany. He says, come to you, stay with you a while, or even spend the winter so you can help me. And then verse 7, I think, is one of the key verses in today's passage, especially for me. Is that it says, I do not want to see you now and make only a passing visit. But, I added the but, I hope to spend some time with you if the Lord permits. And then verse 8 continues, but I will stay on at Ephesus until the Pentecost. So he's not just talking about, you know, time that he will and wants to spend, but also in talking about Timothy's coming. He says to accept him so that you can support him. And then he continues on to talk about Apollos. Now, in between the profound teachings and admonishments that Paul writes about in his letters, Paul always, not just in, you know, this passage, but in his letters, he always takes time to mention people by name and to encourage time with and between people in the body of Christ. And as a pastor, I remember when I started out, you know, as I thought about it, especially after reading today's passage, I started out with effectiveness and efficiency, right? Get things done, you know, got to get the work done and go through the work and my list and check things off. Or I tried to be, at least, because that's actually not really how I work. But I've come to understand, slowly, and it hasn't been that long, but the importance of quality time with people as a pastor and in ministry. And now I try to meet with at least a few people every week. And in terms of the time that I allot for my, you know, meetings with people, usually lunches, often lunches, is by default 2 hours. Right. If I cannot get 2 hours with someone, with people, I usually, you know, reschedule until we can, because anything less, I think, is too short, you know, because I don't want to just sit and like get down to business, you know, talk, agenda, check, check, check. And then, yeah, shake hands. Good meeting. Good talk. And leave. I want to be relaxed. I want to be expansive in my conversations, talking both sides, you know, ending with prayer. And so, if you think about it, kind of like what I mentioned about Hillary and her 15-minute blocks, shorter time blocks or meetings may be more efficient and effective, but the quality gets watered down. And I was reminded again today of the need for time in our ministry and in the body, to spend time in the body and with people. We need to make time and, when necessary, extend time, as we see Paul doing and you know, he's ready to do as well. Right. Again, I was reminded of a friend at church. He's a member of our church who's also a very close friend. And one day, a couple of years ago, when he found out that I was traveling overseas, he insisted that he wanted to drive me or come and pick me up, either or, you know, both or, at least one of them. Now, this is despite Seoul having one of the best and most efficient public transportation system in the world. I'm you know, pretty much convinced of this. They have a separate one that's even more efficient just for getting to and from the airport, right? And to him, it wasn't a matter of efficiency or saving time or anything like that. He said, no friend of mine goes to the airport by himself. Right, with luggage, now with or without a lot of luggage. No friend of mine goes to the airport by himself. And, you know, I was really blessed. I was so glad to hear that, even though it wasn't necessary. It's not efficient, but it is good. And it helped me on my journey, as Paul is encouraging people to think about. And this day and age, I think we may have lost some of this sense of time, the need for time, because the church has, you know, become centered around services, right? Worship services that are so well planned out and executed. And time has taken a backseat, and it has become a measure of efficiency and effectiveness. But this passage reminded me that time is more than a measure or a logistics. Time is at the center of fellowship, of communion. And so we need to open up our lives, our homes, and our time to people, the people of God, on their way. And this is what being a body is all about. So today we're reminded that being a body together means time, spending time together, quality time together. And we do that by opening opening up our lives, opening up our homes, our wallets, but especially opening up our time, making ourselves available to spend time, whether it be 15 minutes, 1 hour, or 2 hours, or even more if necessary, and spending that kind of time in ministry and between ministry as well, so that ministry and the body becomes not just something that you do on the side, but it is part of your life, and it is the center of our existence, of our worship, and what it means to be one together, one body together. I hope this is an encouragement to you and a reminder, good reminder for all of us. Let's pray. God, we thank you for your word this day, a reminder to spend time, to have time, to make time, Lord, so that we can be one body, O Lord. And this is an even greater challenge for us as we consider our relationship with you. And our relationship, the horizontal relationship, is an overflow of our relationship with you, our Heavenly Father. So I pray, Lord, that we will make time. Our time with and for you, our time with and for our brothers and sisters in the body. May you bless us this day. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
For a single soul, reaching the world, all as that being in closer, CGM.